The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. Hey, Noah. Hey. How's it going? Hey, besties. Everyone listening out there, Thursday show. Let's kick it off. Between you and me, I'm coming in. First of all, I'm in a great mood, as I always am when I start this damn podcast. I'm sad that I have 3 days ahead of me where we won't be doing this. It's been a great week so far. But I've got really nothing to report. I'm just kind of happy. I have the day off today. From my show that I'm filming, we're getting ready to wrap on it. It's like, not ready. We have like a couple more episodes to tape, record. I don't know what they do anymore. And then I might stick around the Cayman Islands for a week just to like hang out. And I mean, I'm already on vacation with this show. For me, hanging out is going to be hard, but today we're going to a really nice hotel with like a ton of the people from the crew, and we're getting a cabana, and we're gonna like hang out by the pool and just hang. It'll be fun. It's an hour away though. It's like a long drive, and part of me just wants to like be in bed all day and catch up on sleep, but I can't sleep. I'm just too excited about my life. But Andrew said the other day, he was like, that's good, you know, because you used to be so, I used to hear you be so depressed that you just wanted to sleep to escape your life. And now you don't want to sleep because sleep isn't better than life. And that's a good feeling to have, but I'm sleep deprived. There's no question about it. But do you ever get so like, you know, you're sleep deprived, but because you can just add up your hours and you can't even do the math because you're so tired. But you just know you're not getting enough hours, but you're just not tired. I've never really had that.
I do know that point. I call it like the point of delirium, where it's like I'm just so crazy, but like hyper, but it's definitely not good for my brain.
Yes. It's like you're, yeah, well, I mean, sleep deprivation like makes you like drunk. And then, yeah, I just don't. My biggest fear in life, my biggest stressor is not getting enough sleep. Like if I see that in my future, you know, that as working with me for a while, like if I look at my week and I go like, when am I going to nap? When am I going to sleep? I start to like panic, but I don't know. I'm just like so jazzed and like amped about life right now. I'm pretty happy, which is a weird feeling, but I don't know. We were just talking off air about resentments, and I've got quite a few brewing. Just like where you just are. For me, resentment is like a kind of newish word because I'm just like, oh, I hate that person, or I'm mad at that person. But resentment is interesting because it's all you. Like, it doesn't really have anything to do with that person. And it's interesting to learn so late in life that when you're mad at someone, it's not anything that they have no part in it. It's just you. And like, it's really hard to grasp that, but it's always the case. I mean, literally, maybe if you like someone murders your dog or something, and you resent them, maybe that's not your fault. Well, it is, because you could let it go, I guess. It takes a strong person. Noah, what are the resentments you carry?
I guess a lot of them is just like stuff I have to deal with in my relationship, where I know that it's a narrative that I create in my head and a story. But it's just so much easier to carry around a resentment and just blame it on somebody else.
Like, what's a story you tell yourself?
That is definitely a hard question to put me on the spot with.
No, but like, I get it. Like, you go, oh, this person did this thing. They don't care about me.
They don't care. Yes. That's
they
a
don't
huge
love me
one.
As much I have as abandonment. I love them.
Yes. I have separation anxiety. I'm like a beagle. You know, I just have like dog problems, and it's all on me and things that I have to work on myself. But I hate resentment. I wish I could just kind of get a lobotomy or something. Just take out the part of my brain that feels them, because
I know it, and it just And the thing is, I've been trying so hard to voice my resentments as soon as they come up so that, because so often they're not what I perceive them to be. The story I'm telling myself is not even like the person isn't meaning to make me feel that way, even though no one can make you feel anyway. I'm tired of people saying made me feel, but you know, even like as simple as, I mean, we talked about this the other day. I don't know if it was on one of the lost episodes that didn't record, but like when someone's driving in front of you and they're going slow or they're tailgating you, like, it doesn't matter, really. I mean, I guess it's causing you a little anxiety because you could stop short and then they could slam into you, but so it could harm you. But I mean, someone driving slow or someone just, I watch Andrew get so much road rage, not rage, but like road agita. And I always just want to be like, it's not, this doesn't, this isn't going to change your life in any way. Like, you know, when just it's, but it's all resentments of like this person, you're telling a story like this person is stupid. They're slow. They are selfish. They are dumb. And it's like, maybe they are going the speed limit or maybe they're high. They're going under it. And then you're like, why are they driving high? And you're like, well, maybe they are struggling.
You just don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Exactly. You just
in don't their know. World. You gave me the best advice yet. Unfortunately, it is on the lost episode. Oh. You and Andrew had a heart-to-heart conversation, and I asked you, how do you start that heart-to-heart conversation? Because I only know how to start it after a big blowout,
after
an argument. And I just want to be able to start it without that. And you gave me the best advice.
I think I said start it with compliments of like, because when Andrew and I were... I brought up something to someone recently that they were like hurting my feelings by something they were doing, or I felt my feelings were hurt because of the way I interpreted someone's actions. And I wanted to like explain it to them. And I just realized, oh, the reason that this hurts me is not because you're doing it. It's because the way you treat me otherwise is so amazing that when you do these little things, it makes it so much worse because it's so the opposite of what I go to you for. So I couched it as like, you make me feel so good all the time. And that's why I'm I like being around you, like having you around me. That's why I want to be close to you because you always build me up and make me feel amazing and cool and beautiful and funny and all these things. So when you do a little slight, it just stings so much more than if you were just like just any other person. It's like, because you're so great, I am more sensitive to the smallest slight. And that's a problem I'm working on. But I just want to let you know like how fucking good you make me feel. And I wouldn't even bring this up unless you did make me feel so good. And the person was like, I feel like you're just like kind of bullshitting me right now. And I was like, I'm not. Like, this isn't me trying to make it palatable for you. This is me actually processing why the fuck this is annoying me so much that you did this little thing, because I feel ridiculous being so hurt by this seemingly innocuous slight. And it was sincere. I was like, that's why it bothers me. And then like if a random person did this to me, it wouldn't bother me. But it's like, I rely on you. It's like, you know, when your shower has cold water, your shower that you trust to have warm water all the time suddenly has cold water, you like freak out. Now, if you're at a hotel and it had cold water, you just like go like, oh, this is just a cold shower and I'm going to change rooms. You don't like yell at the shower and try to fix it. You're just like, this is the way it is. I'm not going to be around the shower anymore. But suddenly this warm shower is spitting out fucking coldness. It's worse because no, I trust this shower. It's my shower. So that was my advice.
Yeah, definitely leading with a compliment and using positive reinforcement, praising the action that I liked is just, it's so hard for me to do it just like out of the blue. But I want to say thank you because I did it last night and it definitely helped me. So thank you.
Yeah, you were saying like Pavlov's dogs, like if you associate like when you make up with someone after a fight, if you're starting with a fight and you get like the makeup sex or the kiss or the niceness afterwards, you start to associate the warm feeling of those, that affection, with the tumult that has preceded it. And so if you start with good, get into the bad, end with the good, it might not be, you might not start salivating when, you say, can we talk? All right, let's get Andrew in here, process more of our feelings, get into the news. Lots to talk about today. It's the last show of the week, week three. We're going out strong. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Nikki Glaser Pod. Lots of original content on there. I think we're going to videotape one of the segments today so you can see us in action doing it. We'll put it up on there. It's a private account, so we have to, you know, approve you, but we want you there. So if you're listening right now, go follow us on Instagram, Nikki Glaser Pod. And we'll get Andrew in here right after this. All righty. Andrew, welcome to the show, buddy. How'd you sleep last night?
I slept well. I slept in my bed, not the couch.
Mm-hmm.
You were gone?
Wait, I... Hold on.
Wait, can I say that?
Yeah, I was gone? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you were gone, so I got to do the thermostat at what I like, which is about 45 degrees hotter than what you like. you're a Eskimo in a ice luge who has a cold heart. And I am a hot boy in New Orleans with Juvenile. So
if you're a hot sleeper, what the hell is wrong with you? Just like you, people who bundle up in fucking flannel pajamas and then they like get in. Like, I've never understood flannel pajamas, flannel sheets. I sweat so goddamn much when I sleep.
Why do you sweat so much at sleep?
I don't know. My body like regulates itself and it's made to be like, it's efficient and it knows that like, I might be sleeping outside sometimes because I'm a human being that's meant to be sleeping outside. Homo sapiens, what up?
I'm almost done with that Blinkist. Not really, though.
And
yeah, go ahead.
I don't need to, I'm not like this little, like, tiny shivering baby bird that needs to be, like, fucking.
But you're not sweaty during
the
day.
Tropics.
I just wonder what happens at night that makes your
body. I don't know. My body relaxes and it just gets hot and it, like, and I bundle and I feel, I don't know, I just like,
is it tough though, like when you're dating someone or something and you sweat so much, are you insecure about it at all?
No, my god, I'm not insecure about literally anything anymore, and even my old sweat problems when I used to be more insecure were funny. My ex-boyfriend used to call me Sweaty Betty. I used to say I wet the bed. I mean, it was more like, oh babe, what is going on? It was just like, I don't know, I'd wake up just like at a fucking puddle, and my clothing used to go thwap on the you know, as maybe a side effect of Zoloft, but I don't really get that sweaty when I sleep anymore. It used to happen even if the room was cold and stuff, so I don't really know, but I'm literally like not insecure about anything. Like, I fart in front of you now. I mean, that is like, that's not just like you. That's like pretty much anyone I'll fart in front of. Like, I don't care. Like, I used to be so embarrassed about farts. Like, if someone heard me fart, and like, now I can talk about the fact, like, I don't know what happened. I just don't care.
I love when I look over and I see that look on your face of just, it's like, I don't know, a fart face. You're not smiling. You're also, you're just, there's something so peaceful about a fart face, and you spread your cheeks, your right cheek.
Yeah, because last night you were on, no, usually I don't hide the sound I'm around you, but last night you were on Instagram Live and I had a pretty decent one, and I'm like on my period, kind of. It's like a phantom period. Like, I'm having every symptom, but I only bled for one day. It's really strange. But, you know, you get kind of gassy when you're on your period, right, Noah? Am I alone here? No, I guess I am.
No, you're not alone.
No, she was muted because she was on her period too. We've synced up even on Zoom.
Oh, actually, no, I'm supposed to get my period like tomorrow.
Oh.
So we're slowly syncing back up.
Okay, mine might start up again. Who knows? But yeah, I let one out last night,
Andrew.
When Andrew was on the Instagram Live, and I spread my cheeks so it wouldn't be a sound. But I really was only doing that because I didn't want to distract from the riveting show you were providing your 69 viewers.
I mean, you say that.
Check mark.
First of all,
it was very late at night. Also, you were in the dark.
I wasn't even going to say that.
Yes, you were.
You assumed that I was going to say that. I was going to say it's very late at night. I hate when you're right about what I predict, because then I have no rebuttal other than to say, oh, wow, you finished my sentence perfectly, exactly like
I'm
I would have. Maybe
it.
Better than I would have, because you know more words than me. But have you farted in front of a guy you fuck?
No, I haven't tried that yet, but because I haven't fucked a new person.
Or whatever,
since my
you
last
know,
ex-boyfriend.
Fool around.
If I fool around with someone, I would fart in front of, like, if I'm considering the people that I would consider fooling around with, yes, I would fart in front of them. I would. There are maybe ones that I wouldn't. I don't want to. I don't want to be like, oh, this is a fun thing. But if I did it, I wouldn't be horrified. And, like, I'm not going to, like, try everything in my life to never have them hear me fart like I used to.
I do feel like there's a way to ease into it. Like, as you know, as a guy, I just feel like if you farted, let's say, you know, in the car about 5 hours before we're going to fuck, I wouldn't even think twice about it. But if we were in bed and we were about to have sex,
no,
it's all time appropriate.
Yeah. And I'm not going to try to fart around someone. Like, I do want to keep things sexy. And I do think it's important to, like, not be like, be too bro-y around guys that you're attracted to. But
what
I don't
if a
know.
Guy
I think
was
they're
like,
kind of
I want
cute.
You to fart in my mouth. Would that turn you on or turn you off?
Listen, I'm into some things that not everyone's into. If a guy I really loved was into me farting in his mouth, like, I would feel like that there's something going, like, it's weird, but I wouldn't judge it, honestly.
That's just fucking dope, dude.
I wouldn't, like,
it
if
really
they
is.
Wanted me to shit in their mouth, that's just a mess, and I don't want to smell my own shit, but... If a guy like
well, the
my,
cleanup between that and the sweat.
Well, my someone asked me the other day, like casually, like, would you if like a guy wanted to pee on you, would you be into that? And I was like, in the shower, sure. If a guy wanted me to pee on them, sure.
What about at a funeral?
What?
No, I'm just saying, like the most absurd time a guy would like. It's all appropriate. It's all like,
yeah, because I'd be wearing
everything.
Black, and if I got pee on it, it wouldn't, you know.
That's a good point.
Stain. But I'm into like experimenting. Like I'm into some kinky stuff that not everyone is into. Like my sexual proclivities will not overlap perfectly with anyone. So that means I'm going to be introducing someone down the line to something that they might not be aroused by themselves. And therefore I probably will have to do some things that I don't really want to do.
You think women are act
not don't want to do, but I'm not.
Do you think women act more crazy because they're holding in so much gas, and that if they were
yes.
able to fart, they wouldn't yell about you not doing the dishes?
I was gonna say on Conan the other day that men's emotions, men's like intense feelings, are like women's farts. You just hold them in until you can't any until it's so painful that you just let it out at a time that's not you're not ready to. And then it comes out of nowhere and it's so, it just ruins the mood and you really can't go back from it. Cause like if you fart as a woman and it comes out and you've never farted before in your life, when it comes out, you're going to be embarrassed. It's going to be at a weird time. It's going to be like a sound that you didn't mean to make. And when you're a man and you're hiding in like emotions about the way your dad didn't let you, you know,
fart in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel
it's
like
it's going to come out as a burst of anger. That's,
I feel like guys, like they'll do like a Dutch oven to their girlfriend and then
oh,
not
God,
expect
so
them
mean.
To fart. Like the difference between a Dutch oven and no farts is wild.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've Dutch oven girls before and they seem to really,
I mean, that is a cruel joke and prank. I don't like when you fart around me and I have to like smell it, but if you're across the room and fart, I think it's funny. Farts are so funny.
They're the funniest things ever made. They're yeah. the sound you can't. A fart machine is even funny. Remember Whoopee cushion came out?
Oh yeah.
And you Whoopee
came
cushion?
Out. You don't remember when they came out, but like
what
yeah,
do you
they
mean?
were around. Didn't come out. The Whoopee cushion's been around since like 1932, probably.
Really?
Dude, it's a balloon. It's one of the most basic fucking games ever. Wiki it.
Yeah.
Wiki feed
yeah,
it.
No, can we get a research on When the whoopee cushion came out, are you 200 years old? Shout out to Kyle Dunnigan. He has a Tesla, and the only thing we liked about the car was the fart
sound. Fart noises that you can do in this in the car. You can like make the person in the back seat sound like that that they farted.
Yeah, he spent $80,000 to do specific farts.
It's so funny.
It really is.
How did you sleep, by the way? I slept great. I mean, yeah. I'm sleeping when I do sleep, sleeping hard, sleep mask. I'm, you know, I had a sleepover with some friends and brought my sleep mask with me and was like, that was the only thing I brought. I was just like, I washed my face, I brushed my teeth, and I was like, I'm going, brought my phone and my sleep mask. That's all I need out on the road.
No toothbrush?
No, I'd already brushed my teeth before I left.
But you figure you're sleeping there, you're going to wake up in the morning with rank breath, no?
I don't mind. I just like, there's an explanation for that. It's like, oh, it's, you know.
Cum in your mouth?
Yeah, there's all
old cum.
Oh my God. Andrew.
What?
Andrew, don't tell people my midnight snack.
You think cum helps your teeth get whiter because it's white?
No, I do not. I don't. That's not a thing.
Well, you said there was cum inside your Invisalign, so wouldn't that help?
I didn't say that.
I'm just kidding. We could take that out, I guess.
What did I say? There was cum in my Invisalign.
You said you gave a blowjob with the Invisalign
in. I have done that before, and I do recommend it because it makes your teeth very soft around the edges, and you don't have to worry about scraping or like biting a penis.
You should bring that on Shark. Can you pitch that to me real quick, Shark Tank style?
Yeah. Hi, Sharks. Are you, wait, hold on. Hi, Sharks. Are you worried about, hi, Sharks. Hold on. Hi, Sharks. Do you want to straighten your teeth while giving a pleasure to your man that you're going to resent later because he did nothing to you? Well, then I have the perfect thing for you. It's called Invisicum. It's, actually, wait, it's called Cumaline. It's, wait, is that a shark out there? Whoa, I think I just saw
a shark.
I literally think I'm seeing a shark in the ocean. No,
man,
it's probably.
This is really fucking up your pitch.
Well, I saw a real shark. I started pitching to that one.
I don't know. I think that was Mr. Beautiful.
Mr. Beautiful. No, but really, if you haven't, I think there should be mouth guards for women to give blowjobs. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, like, if women are always so worried about their teeth when they give a blowjob and they have to do this, like, grandpa face, or like, oh, sunny dear, how about nickel? And you look like an old toothless turtle, when really you could just wear a mouth guard or Invisalign and just go to town and smile the whole way through and straighten your teeth.
I think the Invisalign should come with a vibrating feature.
That's it. That's what we were talking about.
And a like thing like Pop Rocks.
Oh, wait. Wouldn't that hurt?
It's fun. I've had a girl blow me one time with Pop Rocks in her mouth. Yeah.
I want to try that. I love candy.
Oh, it rocks, boy. And I popped.
Oh, my God. That's so fun. Wait, who did that to you?
This was years ago. This is when Pop Rocks were big.
Oh, when Pop Rocks first came out with the whoopee cushion back in 1843 when you were a young tot running around the slums of Brooklyn. Like, the whoopee cushion coming out, when it came out, you think when things just waft into your field of vision is when they come out. Let's see when the whoopee cushion came out. I'm guessing the 60s. 1920s.
Yes.
When were they popularized, though? When did it get popular? Usage.
1988.
Oh, if the victim happens to be sit on the opening, blocking the airflow, it can rupture the cushion instead. For this reason, some pranksters place the cushion so the opening extends towards the front of the chair, which is less likely to be sat on. However, this can make the cushion more conspicuous. Oh my God. The people on Wikipedia are.
What are you about to announce Harry Houdini coming out?
Oh my God.
You have a very good Harry Houdini. Like, what and then he will go underwater.
Gather round, everyone. Come look at the new blowjob mouth guard.
Come along on the ride with us. Your teeth will be white and your dick will be hard. The Cumaline will take care of everything. Harry Houdini next.
You're good at it.
Thanks.
Compliments. Let's get into the news.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Did you not get it to the news desk in time? What's going on?
Yeah, I was in the bathroom. I apologize. I was taking a dumpski. That's where poop comes out of my butt.
No. Yeah. What is going on in this episode?
Oh, I don't know. We're having fun. It's Thursday. Well, you know Friday's always our funnest
episode. I know we're having fun, but what about...
the listener?
Yeah.
I would guarantee that our best friends out there are having a fun time out there, and they're having all the swells.
Wait, do you hope that they are, or do you guarantee?
I'm almost going to start guaranteeing, but I just hope for now. But in 2 months or so, I'm going to throw out some guarantees. I'm just letting you know, stay ready. Oh, boy. You're going to love this headline, Nick. I hope you're sitting down.
I am.
All right.
You're sitting right next to me. You can definitely see that.
Yep, I see you sitting there. All right. A home inspector caught on nanny cam pleasuring himself with an Elmo doll faces charges.
Home inspector.
So, a homeowner hired a 59-year-old Kevin Van Leuven, shout out, to inspect property. A nursery camera detected movement in the nursery, so the 22-year-old homeowner, wow, humble brag, checked her phone and caught Van Leuven in the act. After he finished pleasuring himself, he returned the doll to its original place. When questioned, Van Leuven said he moved the doll to check an electrical outlet. These excuses.
Wait, is this a Tickle Me Elmo? Was it like the vibrating, like the laughing Tickle Me Elmo?
I mean, if that's what Elmo's into, I think it was Choke Me Elmo.
Is this guy... what? Oh, wait, there's a video of it.
Oh,
wait,
Jesus.
Do we have a video? He's wearing a mask. At least he's... oh, my God. He literally just is carrying this Elmo. The Elmo looks like a victim.
It looks like he's holding Elmo by the neck.
Yeah, it really does look sexual. You guys, he is traipsing across a nursery with an Elmo. He looks so terrifying.
At least he has his mask on.
Oh, man.
It is
Kevin
funny. Like,
Wayne Van Leuven.
Look how empty that room is. Like, the electrical outlet, like, he's he's saying, like, Elmo was in the way, so I had to... like,
dude, do we have like the footage of the jerking off?
No. But have you ever jerked off on the job?
No.
I have.
I had a feeling.
Have you ever had sex at work?
Yes. Yes.
Wait,
lot.
What?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Oh. Can you talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to my ex-boyfriend and I got together before people on our show knew. And he used to bang me in my office, like behind, like where, like very, I mean, people could have seen. It was so thrilling.
That's so hot.
Where we used to like sneak into, like, he used to know this whole building because he worked in there for years and years. And I was like kind of new to this building. And he used to like be like, meet me on the 17th floor. And I'd just take a elevator up. He's like third door on the right. And I would just like walk in and there would be this like dark edit bay that like no one would be in that he would like have access to.
Holy
and we'd
shit.
Go in there. I remember one time I came in and I was wearing my robe that like we had these robes that would go over our wardrobe so that we wouldn't get stains on them while we waited. And I was wearing nothing underneath. And he didn't know that because he had just seen me, but I was like, I'll surprise him. And I just remember that's the best thing when you like do something hot and a guy's like, what the fuck? Like their minds are kind of blown. That's like my favorite guy reaction is like, I can't believe that you just did that. Like being in awe of me. And that's all the porn I watch too is like men being like proud of like what a whore you are.
Man, that story reminds me of when I would walk dogs and go in people's bathroom and jerk off.
You and mean then, mine?
You don't want to say that on air, Andrew.
Yeah, you do.
He's never going back to that life.
Yeah,
he can throw it.
That's the past.
Wait, you definitely jerked off at my apartment.
Oh,
when you
yeah.
would stay there and watch
oh,
Luigi
yeah.
and Marion.
When I would smell your pillow.
Oh, God.
No, I wouldn't smell your pillow. There was too much sweat on it. But I would masturbate in the bathroom, never on an Elmo doll. I would always keep it PC. And I would come and I'd be like, whoa, you did it again. I'd always be surprised. And that was my favorite reaction to myself.
I mean, that you guys got to go look at that Elmo doll picture. I mean, it's kind of disturbing. That guy is definitely like, why Elmo?
I mean, I think that was the only doll in there. I think Cookie Monster I'd rather fuck.
These guys are doing it because of Elmo. I mean, he'd gobble it up and make a mess. You and Cookie Monster have so much in common, I just realized. I feel like you eat the same and you're like the same, like, happiness.
That's how you if you fuck Cookie. Like,
oh my God, he would be the best at eating pussy.
Yeah, dude.
Cookie Monster.
Oh my God.
But like that guy, for what it's worth, I'll pussy just say monster. That the Elmo guy, this was not an isolated incident. He enjoys the idea of there's a pedophilic nature to this in a nursery. I mean, let's just be glad it was just a doll.
And there's cameras everywhere, folks. So
wonder
watch
if he'll
out.
Have to be like he's a sexual predator now because he did it like in a nursery. I wonder. Who knows? Next story.
We'll find out probably in a month when he's back in the news. All right. Esther Perel breaks down relationships in the pandemics. Essentially. Oh God.
Wait, please, I mean, Andrew.
Wait, just honor her by not saying
Esther
her name is
Esther Perel.
Perel.
Is Esther she famous Perel. Or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, she's a, Noah and I love her books. Oh,
okay.
She wrote Writing in Captivity and then other like affairs.
Well, in that case, book. Ether says that the crisis of the pandemic acted as an accelerator in relationships, urging people to move in together, have kids, get married, but can also make them ask the question, if life is short, I'm not doing this for another 20 years.
Yes.
Rituals ease us through transitions. Rituals are routines.
Will you say rituals like we don't know what you're reading? Like you have to read like we're not reading along with you. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you read like we're also on the page. So when you say rituals, we can just know it's rituals because we're reading, but we're not. So you have to say rituals.
Okay. I would do that.
Why are you so mean to him, Nikki?
No.
Why are you mean? Don't bully him. Well, because I'm trying to make him a better newsman, y'all.
But you also want me to get through the fucking stories quick.
Rituals.
So you understand that I have a trouble reading. First of all, you trouble. Know I have trouble reading.
I didn't
in
know
general.
That. I didn't know that.
No, I don't. I'm a very good reader. Okay. You're supposed to say no. You actually can read all right. Yeah. No, I just want to get through it fast. There's a lot of words here that Noah
well,
wrote.
Well, just rituals is a word that you maybe not want to
okay,
don't wanna
fine.
Skip up.
Rituals ease us through transitions. Rituals are routines elevated by creativity, driven by intention, and imbued with meaning. Esther encourages post-breakup rituals because they help us understand that although a relationship is over, we are not over.
What's a post-breakup ritual?
So like a post-breakup ritual would be like writing a letter to the person, going to a spot that you guys would go on dates and like have a moment there.
Like,
so don't look at a breakup so negatively. Like be like, we're ending, but we're not ending.
Yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. Everything must end, whether you die or you break up. Like you will have a breakup at some point in your life. Whether like when, so everything will end. Endings don't need to be like the saddest thing. They can be almost celebrated or like honored. Noah, is this what the gist is?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And to Andrew's point about going to a place that you went with your ex, like instead of seeing it as a place you went with your ex, take your girlfriends there, go there, connect with other people and just, you know, don't look at breakup as such a negative thing.
Yes.
Cut that ritual.
She was saying how like a wedding, like you have an engagement, a wedding, like you're celebrating, and then a divorce is like dark and you know, take divorce photos. That's
what
I would do.
It's all about your perception of it and how you present it. Whenever people tell me they're going through a divorce, I say congratulations. I always do, and it's not something that I'm just like faking. I really do think it's so brave to have sworn to be, or you know, like not sworn in, but to have vowed to do something forever and then realize that you've changed your mind. Like I had a good friend, possibly a close relative, who quit their job, resigned because they were like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then they changed. And then, you know, the job was like, we understand, we'll miss you. And then the person changed their mind and was like, you know what? Actually, that was a rash decision. I didn't think about it enough. I'm going to ask for it back. And I was like, I said, congratulations on both. None of those are embarrassing. None of that. Like you just, at least you are doing what you want. And so I think when you break up, you should treat it as a celebration because just because a relationship ends, it doesn't mean it was a failure. That is not a cliche thing. That is true. A 10-year relationship deserves a party, even if it ends, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I look at my parents' divorce and like the divorce was horrible, But then the 25 years of fighting after is way worse than the actual breakup. And you just wasted time arguing, ego. Just drop it and understand, like, yeah, we had a great time. It's time to move on.
You need to drop it, but you need to work on your resentments, which Noah and I talked about, of like, okay, why am I, my husband cheated on me. What did I, not that it's my fault, but what's my role in this? Do I need to let this ruin my life? Do I need to play the victim here? Maybe. But what can I do to take back control and not let this ruin my life? And it's hard to do. It really is. It takes a lot of work and a lot of self-reflection.
I recommend start stripping.
There we go. Next story.
Men are often lying when they say they want an older partner. The study show. I love these studies. Like, that's not like.
Yeah. I mean, these are all studies that I've conducted just based on my DMs slides.
What's the youngest guy in your DMs these days?
I get like 19-year-olds.
Jesus. What do they say?
21. You know, if you're interested in a younger man, I know you probably don't want to go. It's always very self-deprecating. Like, you would never want me. Like, the young boys don't have a lot of confidence in that way. They're not like, I'm a young buck that can fuck you better than an old man. Like, it's always like, you probably don't want me.
Yeah, you always get mad when they're like, oh, can you teach me a few things? And you're like, no.
Algebra? Yeah. Like, I don't know what, I don't know even how to do long division anymore. Yeah, I can
but
prep
I could do
you
your
for
long
the,
cock,
the half maybe. Of the ACTs, the essay part. No, I, I've always said that I don't want to be a fetish to a young boy. So if like men are like, you know, into older women, I don't want to like contribute to that. It like makes me uncomfortable, but I'm definitely down to, I think that I'm okay now with engaging in romantic relationships that I know aren't going to stand the test of time. I can picture them as like, oh, they exist in this moment. They don't need to be forever. So like when I don't want to, we have to get the phone. Yeah. I just think that, wait, what were we talking about?
I don't know. We got a phone call.
Got a phone call from one of the cast members.
We were talking about age and
oh yeah.
And
like, yeah, I just don't want to be,
you don't
want to
be like fetish size, but at what point does
but
it
I'm
become,
but I'm just scared a guy is going to use sleeping with me, because I know that I've asked guys this before, like, what's the oldest woman you've ever been with? And when I was 20 something and a guy my age, 25-year-old, would be like, I slept with a 46-year-old, be like, oh my God, what was it like? And they're like, oh, Jesus. And they can like say something that will make me feel young and validate me. And I just don't ever want a guy to be like, her skin was saggy and her tits were old, or like, there's just so many insecurities I have about men saying mean things about me, even though I just said I wasn't insecure.
I don't think you would ever even hook up with a guy who is that
capable
nasty
of things.
Yeah, that was, like a guy who would actually say that about a woman is disgusting, and
you don't
I can't see that in
Noah,
your future.
What guys say to get hot girls to fuck them, and if they think telling a hot girl that Nikki Glaser isn't that hot when you take her clothes off, because they'll be like, "Oh, I slept with Nikki Glaser because I'm famous," ish. They might use that someday down the road to get laid with like younger girls, and like the girl will be insecure and be like, you did, you slept with her. And they'll be like, yeah, but she wasn't even that hot or whatever. And then the girl will like them more. Like guys will just like lie to get, I just don't ever want to be used as like a novelty.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of times too, like a guy who's like, I don't know, 28, 29 will sleep like with a 50-year-old or whatever, or like someone older, and be like, it always feels like it will only be a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Which is sad because it's talked about like, yeah, one time I fucked this 50 or, you know, it's never like, oh, and then we actually dated and I, you know, met her kids and we got along really well. Yeah. And she loves to read and she loves to travel. It's always like, I fucked her and she had faked, her tits were actually firmer.
Yeah. I mean, I am finding that like, even with the small amount of sexual experience I have in the grand scheme of things, it is not a lot. I've had like a lot of dark days. Like my sexual, like I really haven't had regular sex in years and years. And then before that, it was just like the same person forever. But I feel like I am so much better sexually than most young girls. Like I know I am. I'm better in bed. And that's just not because of my experience, but because I'm just like a woman who's comfortable with her body. And I think that Yeah, like I feel like I have something to offer the young boys. I'm not opposed to it, but so it says they're lying.
Look, you reach the farting stage,
yeah,
which is the stage you start to fuck like a champ because you have let all your insecurities go.
Yeah, and all my farts go.
The findings, essentially there was a survey and on average respondents said they were seeking a partner who was within 2 years of their own age.
Yeah.
Results showed that while members of both sexes between the ages of 18 to 23 typically accepted invitations from users close to their own age, it declined for older men. Older men would tend to only want people in their closer age.
Yes.
Close to their age. The number dropped drastically to 25% once men reached the age of 30. On the other hand, older women were far more likely than men to contact partners their own age as they got older. So men are just staying in that young age and women are more inclined to.
Yeah, they keep getting younger. You guys get older. They like the fucking McConaughey line from Fast Times.
What was that line?
They keep
I love
getting,
them high school girls. I get older and they stay the same age. And back
it's
then we were all
so
like,
gross.
That was the coolest, man.
Yeah, it's really
he's like, no,
really
that made
nauseating.
His career.
Yeah, it's gross, but you know, this is nothing new.
Sports story though. You ready for this?
Yeah. Let's do our sports moment. You get one a week. Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Oh, do you sound thrilled? Okay. Shaquille O'Neal, who's a basketball player, Nikki, paid for a stranger's engagement ring when he overheard him asking how much is left to pay it off. Shaquille says, I'm just trying to make people smile.
Cute.
So essentially at first he didn't want to take it. The guy, he said, he was like, man, I can't do that. But I told him, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. O'Neal says he didn't intend for the moment to go viral because he does it all the time and not for that reason.
Oh my God. Cute. Oh my God. I love him. And you know what? I believe this. That's so cool. I want to be so rich. That's got to be a great feeling.
That you could buy a diamond that was mined by people, slaves?
Just that, like, you'd overhear someone struggling to, you know, get their change together at the counter, and you just go, I got it.
I mean, if Shaquille O'Neal's doing this all the time, I got to start following around Shaquille O'Neal.
And by I got it, I mean, like, you pick the nickel off the ground that they dropped, and you go, I got it, and you give it back to them, and then you wait patiently for them to pay, and then you pull out your... No, I think it's just so cool that to do that for people...
That's awesome.
The thing about like tipping even $5 extra on a meal or something like this does, you don't have to be Shaquille O'Neal to like kind of spread this kind of joy financially. It's like $2 or $3 extra dollars when you go out to eat, like for a tip, like on top of the tip that you already left will make someone's day better than it would have been. It's that simple. And I really implore everyone out there to, cause you'll get it back. If you can afford to, an extra $5 tip, whether you're at Starbucks, like, can you imagine tipping 100% on your Starbucks drink? It's just two drinks. Just add on $5 once in a while. These people they work so hard. They'll smile so much. They'll be like, really? Like, and it's just $5.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If you're the woman marrying that guy and Shaquille O'Neal paid off the ring, would you find that as a turnoff at all?
No, I'd be like, that is so cool. No, because you already know the guy is probably, hopefully you know the guy's finances and it is really dumb though for that guy to buy a ring or for that woman to expect that guy to buy a ring when he doesn't have the money for it. I think that's just ridiculous. I think wedding culture and diamonds and all that stuff is just so stupid if you can't afford it.
Unless you have Shaquille O'Neal there. You know what I did yesterday?
Yeah, just always shop where he shoots.
In that tone,
Shops.
I saw the guy cutting the bushes outside, and I feel like the gardener at like a hotel never gets a thank you, and he works harder than like anyone, and I just made sure to say thank you to him, and he looked at me like no one has ever said thank you before.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're welcome, man. Like, and whatever. I know I'm like, well, I did my deed, but it really was just a very little deed that I swear to you, like, the guy has he deserves it more than anyone.
Yep. Just say thank you more. Put good energy out there. Try to make people smile by telling women that they should smile more. Just whatever you got to do. Well, thank you for that sports moment. That was very palatable for me.
I know. Me and Noah figured out the exact sports moment. It has no stats, no wins or losses, and it has nothing to do with the game.
Well, that's for you, because last time you actually had one of those, you fucked it up royally.
Sorry, Kansas.
Kansas City Royals. All right, so let's get into a return to a segment that we started out. Remember a couple weeks ago when we did what's the blankest thing you've ever done? And it was the category of grossest. Well, we shared our grossest things, and boy, we got some submissions for some grossest things from our listeners, our besties. We're going to read some of you, some of them now, and just...
They are gross.
Really? You've read them?
I read one line, and I got sick.
Okay. Okay. These are the these are our listeners. Wait, sorry, Noah.
I just want to say some of them are edited down a bit.
Sure.
So,
these are abridged, the grossest things, because we do get long emails. Thank you, Noah, for reading through them. You can always write the show at the Nikki Glaser Podcast at gmail.com. Yes, Noah?
And these are just some of them. We've had so many, but there's just not enough time for them all. So thank you to everyone.
I just saw one of the sentences, and I...
Luckily, our listeners are gross.
I need more information, Lacey.
You boy.
Let's start with Kelsey. Kelsey, she says, I had the flu about 10 years ago. I was sent home from school for being sick and started to feel super nauseous. I didn't want to throw up on my mom's couch, so I ran up the stairs but didn't make it to the bathroom. So instead, I stuck my head over the banister of the staircase and just let the vomit project down to the first floor like a waterfall. I also simultaneously peed my pants. My mom made me clean it up, that bitch. Fuck your mom. Your mom made you clean up your throw up, you poor little girl. I'm so sorry. Your mom is a cunt.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, your mom's a cunt.
No,
you
that girl
sick.
Needs to clean that shit. Don't call your mom a bitch because she didn't clean. First of all, get to the bathroom. Grow up.
Kelsey was so sick, she was pissing and vomiting at the same time. And she was trying to make a beautiful waterfall scene in her house. It's like, those aren't cheap to do an indoor waterfall. For your mom to make you clean that up is a Miss Hannigan move.
You know what I would have done?
Orphanage style.
I would have made her.
Your mom.
I would have made her eat it off the floor, off my nice wooden floor.
No, that's the one thing I love about when I was a kid was when I got sick, my mom would really like baby me and like never make me feel bad, clean everything up. It was like the time from my Netflix special that I said that I had engaged in some sex where some stuff happened, some stuff came out, and my ex-boyfriend acted like when I came back to bed after running to the shower and crying in embarrassment, came back to the bed and it was, the sheets were done. It was as if it never happened. And it wasn't, I wasn't blamed for it. It was like, that was like, it was just like so nice that all my mess was cleaned up. And that's what that mom should have done for you.
Yeah, but her mom didn't tear that ass up.
Next grossest thing. Number two, Lacey. Lacey's just one line, and this is,
it is ridiculous.
It was the best email.
Well, Lacey, I don't know if you're like an ER nurse. This would make more sense. You guys, everyone just hold on.
Yes. If you're driving,
if you're
walking
up some stairs about to vomit, run now to the bathroom because you're about to release it.
This
Are
is
you
gross.
Ready?
This
guys,
is...
I'm not kidding you. Like, I don't want a trigger warning. Lacey, Lacey says, I had to pull maggots out of someone's dick hole. Okay. I don't even know how this could happen. I don't know how you could love someone enough to do this. I actually, maybe if I was on a desert island with my loved one and there was no...
Maybe she's a pallbearer, like she works at a funeral or something. Not a pallbearer.
I love like operating on people, but this is too much. Like I got to pull a piece of coral out of someone's foot the other day and it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's like maggots out of a dick hole.
Oh, it was so good just searching for it and pulling it out with a tweezers. It felt so satisfying. So maybe I can see some enjoyment in maggots out of a dick hole, but I don't know.
Maybe he has foreskin and it just like... You know, he got some food stuck in there, and then next thing you know, the maggots come out.
Maggots would have to mean he's a corpse, though.
I know. Did Lacey give any other information, or was this one sentence?
It was just one sentence. She did say, let me know if you need more info.
Well, yes, Lacey.
Lacey, please, we need more info. The fact that your name is Lacey is also, like, the most juxtaposed name for pulling maggots out of a dick.
Hey, if you need more Gwendolyn. Info about me pulling maggots out of a dick hole, yes, we need one more sentence, please.
At least I would take a I don't know, a novella about this.
Yeah, I would listen to a whole Blinkist about this.
All right, Micah is next. Micah, I went to a guy's house after being at the bar and we started hooking up. Before we were about to have sex, I realized I still had a tampon in. The guy got up to grab a condom, and in my drunken state, I took the opportunity to rip out my tampon and put it under the bed. We had sex, and somehow I forgot about said tampon. Oh, girl.
That's where the maggots came from.
I snuck out in the early morning hours, and while in my Uber, I remembered my used tampon nesting under. Mm. Nesting is hilarious. Nesting under his bed. He moved out of his house a few days later, so there is no way he didn't find it. Needless to say, we never spoke again. What would you do, Andrew Cullen, if you went to the bathroom before boning a girl and you 2 days later were moving out and you found a bloody tampon underneath your bed?
I would have to frame it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As like the first, like a new sandwich shop, a new deli that opened and the first customer's dollar bill.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I would frame it like a jersey. Like I'd make it a fat head. I would blow it up and I'd put it on the next wall that I'm honestly, I would be probably pretty disgusted, but I would almost respect it that she was so down. But maybe a couple days
Micah,
later.
I'm going to tell you something about yourself, Micah. Number one, you have ADD. That's insane. You wouldn't remember to get that. But I also relate to like forgetting things that are that important.
I do too.
And you also might have a drinking problem. But you probably have ADD is what is going on here. And you know what? I love you so much for writing this in. I love all of these. I love that they were all girls. From what I can tell, Kelsey might have been a boy, the vomiter. But I love these stories of just gross, gross ladies.
I love it. I love how gross
nothing
women can be.
Nothing to be ashamed about forgetting a tampon and pulling it out and not like, I do that shit all the time where I'm just like, I'll just put it here and I'll remember like a piece of gum or something like gross. Like I'm just like, oh, I'll put it here until and I'll get it later. Wiping your boogers on something, being like, I'll clean that in the morning and then you don't clean it ever. And then you sell the bed and you're like, oh, they found that.
When I was 13, I would just wipe my cum on the carpet.
Right.
On my carpet and it got underneath my bed, kind of, I would pull a Lacey. Or not a Lacey, that's maggots. Who was the
Micah.
I'd pull a Micah and I would just wipe it underneath. And then eventually we moved and there was a good 2x2 foot of just hard cum on my carpet.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, that was the blankest thing you've ever done. And we're gonna start a new one next week, I'm guessing. And we'll get your submissions for that. But if you have any more gross things to send in, keep them short, paragraph or less, send them into the Nikki Glaser pod at gmail.com. And make sure, Lacey, you follow up and let us know why you were pulling maggots out of a dick hole. Let's move into final thought of the day.
I'm in a great mood right
now. Man, you know we're going to a hotel, a really nice hotel to go hang at a cabana all day. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I got my swimmies on. I got my black t-shirt on that I could swim in.
Are you ready to take your shirt off?
No,
around?
I'm going to take my shirt off because we're not around a bunch of 30 fucking hot, whatever. Never mind. Take that out.
Are you going to swim without your shirt?
Yes, of course. I'm ready to take my shirt off. I'm ready to just spread my wings. And you know what I do, though? I'll go in the pool, and I'll go to about 4 feet, 5 inches. So it's right around the shoulders.
Mm.
And I'll just sit there, you know, for a while.
So they won't see your whole torso?
Yeah. I was in the hot tub the other day, and no one likes to sit on the floor of a hot tub more than your boy.
Yeah, to hide up the body?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've let go of my body insecurities in a big way. Like, I really, my biggest insecurity is my ass, and like, none of bikini bottoms cover your full ass. They carve into it now. Like, they're not doing a full thong, but it's just like, it's for girls with big butts, but mine's just like so flat, and like, I just hate the way my cheek meets my leg. I hate that part of my body. There's nothing I can do about it. It just like is not good. There's not enough definition. I don't want to work hard enough to get it. And now I'm just like, I don't care. It's like not that I'm doing, if your body isn't the way you want it to be, like I know this is the simplest thing in the world, but it's not like you're choosing for your body to be that way. Like girls, like, and I'm speaking to girls and guys, but mainly girls, like I always felt like, God, I eat too much, blah, blah, blah. I don't work out. Like, this is my fault. And it's like, no, it's not. You're not wrong for your body doing this thing. If you could change it, you would. But you don't have enough time to do Pilates and enough money to get a reformer or whatever the fuck it is. So just the thing that you hate about your body that you think is so different than everyone else's and like is holding you back from happiness. When I focus on that part of my body, which is my butt, I just go, I'm not wanting, I didn't choose this. I'm not a bad person. I'm not like, it's not like I'm murdering someone. Like, why do I make it a moral issue of like, I'm a bad person because my butt is this way? Like, it's just the hand I was dealt, or it was the butt I was dealt, and no hands really want to grab onto it, and no hands that were dealt want to grab it. But it's just like, it's not my fault.
I read a great stat the other day that people see you 20% hotter than you see yourself.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might have made that up.
I think you did.
No, I read that somewhere. Maybe
Esther Perel.
Rituals. This has been a great pod. I really appreciate our fans. We have some amazing best friends out there.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for writing in. I had this one guy write me because I also was afraid to take my shirt off at the pool. And like, I relate to you, bro. And if you ever want to do a standing 69, hit me up. And I was like, thanks, Jeff.
No, our listeners are so nice. And they are also DM me. And I just like, I love all the followers we've accrued over at Nikki Glaser Pod on Instagram. I feel like that's like the saturated, that's a group of listeners that I can like depend on. I can post things on there that they will get. I'm not going to be judged. I'm not going to be objectified. I'm just like, I can just be more vulnerable to with our listeners than I can with anyone else. And we do this every day. I'm going to miss you the next 3 days, guys.
I know.
We really do miss doing the show. And it feels like too long of a weekend. I don't like a 3-day weekend when it comes to a podcast. But listen,
we literally put out 4 times more shows a week than any other podcast.
And it's still not enough. But thank you for listening. I hope you all have a great freaking weekend. And be kind to yourselves. Tip well. Forgive yourselves for the thing you hate about your body. It's not your fault. It was just the way you were born. Just keep saying that. Like, it's not my fault. If I could snap my finger and make my arm not that flabby, I would, but it's this, I can't change it. So just acceptance
and have all the swells
And we will see you on Monday.
Okay.